How do you prepare your listeners for what you're about to tell them? Well, first, you prepare yourself. Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Class 10 of the current series called They Tell of the Glory of Your Kingdom and Speak of Your Might from Psalm 145. And this is a 10-part series, last class today, although we'll have a bonus summary class next week, but more on that later. And this is inspired by a request from my friends in the Philippines for a basic preaching and teaching course on preparation and presentation. And so we've gone through a number of topics over the last few weeks, and if you missed any of them, you can go back on the YouTube channel, the podcast feed, or on my website. You will find all the other classes there, and I hope you find them helpful. And if you have any questions, I'd like to know what they are. But today we're talking about how to prepare ourselves to speak. So this is Tuesday Teaching Tip, episode 213. There are a lot of these teaching tips if you want to go back and have a look at them. And so far, what we've been doing in this course is we've chosen our text, particularly we're looking at expository preaching and teaching here. We've chosen a text, we have explored it, we have looked at other resources like Bible dictionaries and commentaries for insight. We've found the main point of our lesson. We've chosen a structure that does justice to the text, but also helps us to explore and explain and apply the point. We have planned how to begin our lesson to make it captivating, stir up curiosity, and then we've also planned how to end the lesson to bring it home to a fitting conclusion so that people can go home with something they can remember and hopefully apply to the glory of God and their own spiritual growth. We've added our illustrations, bringing the text to life, helping it to see how we might apply it to our own lives. We've given it some colour, some shape, we put it in 3D in a way. And then last week we talked about how to involve the congregation in a meaningful way so that it's not a one-way communication, it's two-way, there's give and take, there's learning together in the best way we can. Now we're talking about how to prepare ourselves. And this might be the most significant part for many of us, in that it's fine to have a lesson prepared, we can have our notes and we can have it all sorted out, but are we ready? And so much of what speaking in public is about is not only having the right material, but being prepared right ourselves. So I have a few points for us today. How many? Five sort of categories of things to think about how to be prepared. And I believe you can be, even if you don't feel very prepared, I believe you can be prepared. It's not really about feelings in the final analysis. But firstly, let's talk about this. I really hope you can believe me when I say this. You are enough. Do you get this? You are enough. And what I mean by that is you don't have to be somebody else. Perhaps you have speakers, preachers, teachers you admire. I certainly do. I don't have to be them. I need to be me. You don't have to be somebody else. You certainly don't have to be me. Please don't try to be me. You need to be yourself because you are enough. If God has given you the opportunity to speak his word to people, then that means he believes that you are enough. And indeed you are. It's important, and the point about this is it's important not to get up there thinking, I need to be more than I am. I need to be somebody I am not. I vividly remember the time a few years ago now that after a church service, my wife said to me driving home in the car, she said, I don't like it when you shout. And I was a bit indignant about that. I wasn't shouting. I was just full of indignation and excitement and this is important. And she said, no, that's not how it came across. It came across like you were annoyed, angry, frustrated with me, with the congregation. You weren't being yourself because you're not normally like that. I thought, well, that's true. I don't usually shout at people. I mean, occasionally on the football pitch, maybe now and again, but it's not part of my normal conversation and being with people to shout at them. Well, if it was, that would be a problem, right? So why am I a different person when I get up to speak? Like I'm all full of fury and fire and anger and why is that right? How is that helpful? I was trying to be, and I think it was subconscious rather than conscious, but I had seen people speak with great indignation and thought, I like that. Maybe I should be more like that. But it's not me. Certainly, there are times to be indignant when we speak, but it still needs to be your kind of indignation, not somebody else's kind of or style of indignation. We may not be all we want to be. We may understand that we have weaknesses and inadequacies in our public speaking, but then who doesn't? And in fact, who didn't? The Apostle Paul considered himself not to be particularly eloquent. I rather suspect it was false modesty in to some degree, and I'm pretty sure he was actually very effective. Of course he was. But perhaps he did genuinely see himself as not thinking he was very eloquent, and yet in his weakness, God used him. We are stronger in our weaknesses because then the glory of God and the power of God shines through us more effectively. So be yourself. You may be afraid. You may be insecure. Those are no barriers to God using you effectively. You are enough. Believe it. Yes, you are. So that's number one. Number two, if we're going to prepare ourselves to bring a message for the people, we need to live it. We need to live it to give it. We need to live it out to give it out. In James chapter 3, verse 1, you're probably familiar with this passage, he does say, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." Well, I don't think James was perfect, and I don't think you and I are ever going to be perfect in what we say and do. But the goal is that we are not hypocrites. The goal is that we do our best to live what we teach. Not in perfection exactly, but with that goal of, let me try my best to live this out. And this is why I think preparation in advance is very important. This is why a lesson prepared the night before really doesn't work, at least not as a habit. Because if I'm preparing my lesson at 10 o'clock on Saturday night, how can I possibly live it? The message that is lived has much more authority than the one that has not been lived. Not because I have authority, but because I've carried it out into my life. So before you preach it, apply the text to yourself, your own mind, your own heart, your own life. I preached on Psalm 133 last Sunday. It's about unity. It's about harmony. It's about relational harmony, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity or in harmony. I started preparing that a week in advance. And during the week, I was thinking about, how am I doing at living in harmony? And I did make attempts. I called some people, I talked to some people, I corresponded with some people that, frankly, sometimes I haven't felt it very easy to correspond with. But I did it because I want to promote harmony, and I need to live this. Not to do it so that I can preach on Sunday with a clear conscience, but to do it because I must apply this to my life and find the benefits if I'm going to bring it to anybody else. And of course, God's word changes me. So firstly, you are enough. Secondly, live it to give it. Thirdly, preparation requires prayer. I guess this is obvious, but we need to think about it. Praying before we speak, praying through the week about what we're going to be speaking on, so important. There's a chap called Hugh Latimer that lived back in the, I'm going to say 1500s. I don't actually have the date in front of me here. Time of Henry VIII, King Henry VIII, 1500s. Hugh Latimer was preaching one day. The story is told in this way. I'll read it for you. When Hugh Latimer was preaching one day in the presence of King Henry VIII, he reports that he said to himself, "Latimer, Latimer, remember that the king is here. Be careful what you say." Then he said to himself, "Latimer, Latimer, remember that the King of Kings is here. Be careful what you do not say." For such unflinching faithfulness, Latimer was eventually burned at the stake. But he feared failing God more than he feared offending man. Why is this connected with prayer? It's connected with prayer because when we take what we're going to speak about to God in prayer, we begin to realize this is about God, not about me, not about the people I'm addressing. And woe betide me if I don't bring God's message to these people, whether it's a message of encouragement or a message of challenge. I serve the King of Kings more than any person. That's got to be a preacher or teacher's perspective. And it takes prayer to get that courage. As Latimer said to himself, be careful what you do not say. If there's something to be said, woe to me if I do not say it. So we need to pray. We need to pray for that courage, and we need to pray also for wisdom. In the middle of speaking and teaching a lesson, you may have your notes, like a piece of paper or something like this. And as you're going through it, you realize, I need to leave that out, or I need to expand on that point, because something about the occasion, something about the way the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ is moving in you and alive and awake in you, makes you realize you need to cut something out, add something in, make more of a point on something. Prayer beforehand helps us to be alert to the presence of the Spirit in our own lives, in our own hearts, in our own spirit, our spirit connected with God's spirit. And prayer seems to have something very significant to do with that. So we need wisdom and we need peace. We pray before we speak to have peace. Peace because if we're not at peace in ourselves, we're not going to do a good job of communicating God's word to other people. God's word is more powerful than your mistakes. Listen, I'll let you into a secret. I have never, ever preached a perfect sermon. Never, ever preached taught a perfect lesson. It's never happened in all my 35 years of public speaking and teaching of the Bible. And I actually happen to know it never will happen, which means that every time I finish, every time I step down from wherever I am or get up from my seat at the moment doing Zoom sermons and all that, whenever I stop, I'm always conscious of a mistake I made, something I didn't mean to say, the way I said it, something I didn't say I meant to say. I'm always conscious of the mistakes. But if I am prayerful before I speak, then I'm at peace with the fact God's going to use this anyway. It's not about me getting it right. It's about doing this for God. One question I'm often asked is it right to pray as part of the introduction to the sermon? And some preachers and teachers do this regularly. They get up, they'll say a few words and say, now let's take this to God. Let's pray about this before I go any further. And is that the right way to do things or not? I was once rebuked for not doing that. I was preaching in Bali at a conference for singles in Indonesia, and a person who was at the event where I was speaking came up to me afterwards and said, that was very nice, thank you very much, but you should have prayed before you started. I said, well, I did pray this morning. And he said, no, you should have started your lesson with a prayer. If you don't do that, you can't be. And he went on to kind of rebuke me. He wasn't an Indonesian. He was from another part of the world. But I thought about that. And I thought, well, it might be good to pray at the beginning. And I have done that on occasion. But then I thought, to do it because I ought to do it means it's not coming from my heart. It's not coming from, no. So I do this sometimes, and other times I don't. I would not want to bind it on anybody as a practice one should do, or to say if you're doing it, you shouldn't do it. It's an individual decision. So you are enough, live it to give it. And thirdly, prayer is so important. Fourthly, some people find that routine is very helpful in the preparation before speaking on the day I'm talking about here. Now, I have a routine I follow 90-95% of the time, I would say. And I find this helpful because routines help me to know where I'm going with this, where where I am in the stage of preparation. I don't know that a routine is critical, but it certainly does help in certain circumstances. So I'll tell you my routine, not because I think it's the best routine, although I may even change it, of course, and not to say you should do my routine, but just as an illustration for the sake of it. So here's what I do on a Sunday morning. If I'm preaching on a Sunday morning, when I get up and after I've had my cup of tea and all those bits and pieces, I sit down at my desk and I put on a piece of music, which is Bruckner's Seventh Symphony. Might not mean much to you, but it's a piece of music I fell in love with 30, 40 years ago, 40, 50, 45 years ago, I heard the London Symphony Orchestra play Bruckner's Seventh Symphony on one of the September proms that year on the radio, and I fell in love with it then. And since I started preaching and teaching, I don't know how long now, 30-odd years, I play this music in the background on a Sunday morning whenever I'm going over my sermon notes. And I don't know how many times I've done this, but it's just one of those things. And it's just, for me, it's the perfect music that sets me. I know when I'm listening to this, I'm in sermon review mode. That's what I'm in. It's my sermon review music. And it somehow settles me down. It focuses me in. My attention is drawn into this topic, this project, what I'm doing right now. And it helps to shut the rest of the world out. So that's what I do. I put on Bruckner's Seventh Symphony. It lasts about an hour from beginning to end. And if it's noisy, I put on some noise-cancelling headphones if I can't get peace. That's what I do. And then I reread the text. So let's say it's Psalm 133. I reread it slowly and think about it. Then I go to my sermon notes and have a look at them and review them. Have I missed anything? Is there anything that stands out? I've slept on it overnight. Is there something that I would want to change, to adjust, or last minute changes to make? I make some notes on the things that need to be adjusted, writing on the piece of paper because I print it out. I find it a lot easier to do that way around. I then have a look at the slides. If I've got any audio visual, I check that they are accurate and correct, and I don't need to make any changes there. Then I go out to pray. So I do all that before I pray my main prayer time in the morning. Then I go out to pray. So I've now got the text in my mind and heart. I've got the text of the scripture in the Bible. I've got the outline of my sermon. I've been through it. It's in my mind. And I go out and pray about a number of things, including the sermon itself, of course. After that, I come back. I go back to my desk with Bruckner's Seventh Symphony again. And I make any changes I feel are needed. And then I leave it alone. I leave it alone, I go off and have breakfast, I have a shower if I'm going to have a shower at that point, do other things and come back to it not long before I'm due to start the church service. I would like to encourage you this. One of the things that is a pet peeve of mine, and I have to say this, and I'm trying not to say this as a judgment on anybody, but one of the things I really do dislike is seeing a preacher during the church service, during the singing, or even sometimes, not often the prayer, but definitely the singing, other aspects, people are being welcomed, perhaps even a communion talk, and the preacher is there with his Bible or with his sermon notes, and he is scribbling notes, and the song before the sermon, he's writing more notes, and he's not at all attentive. He's not at all attentive to the communal worship that's going on, that we're all singing together or watching someone or listening to someone. He's not attentive to the group. Like, what's actually happening here? We're missing out if we do that on what the Spirit is doing. We're in our own little world. Listen, there are occasionally last-minute notes, and sometimes I do because I realize, oh, so-and-so is here that's visiting. I hadn't noticed them. I'll just quickly write the name down. I'm not talking about taking 10 seconds to write someone's name or circle something. I'm talking about all through the song, going over it. Listen, if you've prepared well, if you've prayed about it, if you've done this all week, if you've made it part of your life, it's ready. It's as ready as it needs to be. Don't go over it again during the song before the sermon. I'm getting on my high horse here, but it really bugs me. We've got to be part of the community before we go out to speak. The Spirit is with you. And that is going to be enough. So I leave after I've reviewed on a Sunday morning, I leave my sermon alone. It's funny how you get creative thinking sometimes going on when you leave something alone as well. Good. Okay. Fifthly and finally, some random practicals. Preparing yourself to speak. What have you done? You have come to the conviction you are enough. You have lived it so you can give it during the week. You have prayed for courage, for wisdom, and for peace. And you have been through your morning routine on the day or the evening routine, whenever you're going to be speaking. Finally, a few random practical things for preparation. Firstly, clearly, do have your Bible ready. Do have your notes ready. Print it out ahead of time. Have a backup plan. If you're preaching from your iPad, have it printed out somewhere in a pocket just in case, because you know these things do happen. make sure that if you're using PowerPoint and video, that you can do it without it. Your sermon and lesson must never depend upon the audio visuals. They only enhance, but that's a whole other topic. How's your energy level? Are you overhyped, like full of energy and excitement, and you're really not really in your own body almost? Have you got too much energy? Stop and breathe. Just take some slow breaths. Maybe step outside the hall if you need to. I've done this occasionally. Well, I'm too hyped. I step outside, especially if it's cooler outside, and just get some cool air on my forehead and remind myself I'm here with God, and then come back in. If you don't have enough energy, here's one tip I was given, which I have employed a few times. If you can do this and it's not distracting, especially if there's a stage and perhaps a green room at the back or something like that, jump up and down on a spot a few times or run up and down some stairs. You may say, well, this is a bit artificial. Yeah, I know it is. But we're not only emotions and spirit, we're body too. And if you're lacking in energy, you're a bit flat, you're just tired maybe, then get some adrenaline pumping by running up and down a flight of stairs. That's not going to kill you. Well, I hope it's not going to kill you, depending on your health conditions. But just think carefully about what you need. Do you need a breath of fresh air, or do you need to run up and down some stairs? What about your voice? Have you got some water handy? For example, in a flask or a glass, have some water handy. By the way, room temperature water is best. Not coffee, not because it's coffee, but because it's hot. And not iced water, because that restricts the cold water on your vocal cords will restrict them and make it more difficult for you to speak, actually. So room temperature water for speaking is very helpful. Finally, are you nervous? How do you deal with your nerves? If you're nervous, good. You may not think it's good, but it is. One of my first singing teachers, I was having a lesson one day and she asked me how I was feeling about an upcoming concert I was going to perform at. And I said, I'm terribly nervous. I feel terrible. She said, oh, good. I said, what do you mean good? I'm nervous. This isn't good. She said, no, it is. It's good because the fact that you're nervous indicates you understand the significance of what you're about to do. I would be very worried, she said, if you weren't nervous, because it would mean you were complacent. Nerves are not the problem. It's whether we can find the way to utilize them to sharpen our performance, if you like, rather than let them overcome us. Now, I have some other episodes on that. Tuesday teaching tip called Nervous Good. Tuesday teaching tip 127, How to Make Nerves Your Friend. And episode 146, What to Do When Your Nerves Get the Upper Hand. So I'll put the links to those in the show notes and you can go and watch those too if you like. So I'm not going to talk so much about nerves now because I've done that in these three other episodes. Right, that'll do for today. What do you think about all these points? You are enough. Live it to give it. Pray for courage, pray for wisdom, pray for peace. Find a routine that works for you on a Sunday morning or whenever you're going to teach and preach. And then a few random practicals for you to think about, including possibly running up and down some stairs. Well, my question to you then, if you're doing this as a group discussion or as a training exercise, is to talk with each other. How do you get prepared? How do you prepare yourself to speak? Your congregation are assembled. Hopefully they're prepared to listen to you. What do you do to get yourself best prepared to be able to give them what they need and what God has in mind for them on that particular occasion? I'd like to know what you think about that. So that might be something to discuss. Now, finally, next week is the final class in this series. It's a bonus kind of summary class. I want to look at each of the previous few 10 weeks and take perhaps one thing from each. But what I would like most of all is to answer your questions. So if you have any questions for me about public speaking, about preaching, teaching, then please send them to me and I will do my best to answer them in that final video. The email address is malcolm@malcolmcox.org, and you can also find me via my website, malcolmcox.org, as well as Facebook page and all those other places. So let me know. And if you have found this useful, please leave a comment. If you think of somebody else that might find it useful, send them the link. And until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. God bless.